discipleship together with the Lord in the lead. And the Lord has gathered people of every race, language, and way of life into this great church, the universal church. The origin of the Greek word ekklesia, which means church, is the assembly of God's people. And divine love is the bond that holds this assembly together. God, who is love, teaches us how to love and to be loved, to form and to foster relationships. We heard in the second reading today, St. Paul saying to the church in Rome that we owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, echoing what Jesus taught in the great commandments. You shall love the Lord your God wholeheartedly, and through that love yourself and others appropriately. St. Paul continues, love does no evil to the neighbor. Hence, love is the fulfillment of the law. So love is a decision that is made, an action that is taken to enhance the well-being of the other person for the sake of the other person. And that includes fellow parishioners and worshipers, friends and family members, neighbors and other community members, even to those who may be seen as our enemies. In the view of eternity, to promote the well-being of the other for the sake of the other is to be a help on the journey of life to see God face to face in heaven. Jesus knew that there would be conflicts in his church because human beings are part of the church, even as they cooperate with him to believe in the gospel and to repent of their sins and our sins. After Jesus ascended into heaven, there were conflicts in the church. We read that in the Acts of the Apostles. We read that in the various letters of St. Paul. So it is unrealistic to think that even as we strive to love one another, as God teaches us, that there will be no conflict within the faith community. There'll be no conflict in our personal relationships. And it's something that we cannot avoid. We certainly don't want to appreciate it. We know people in the news and people closer to us who just appreciate conflict, just relish it. I hate it. But the Lord does not want us to avoid it, particularly if something is happening that is self-destructive to another person, and that also has an impact on the church. The choices that we make in life have consequences not only for ourselves, but for others. Sometimes those consequences can reverberate even after we breathed our last here on the earth. So Jesus said there's going to be conflict and we must deal with it. Jesus begins by saying, if your brother, and that also includes your sister, so sisters, you are not exempt. If your brother or sister sins against you, you need to deal with it. You should not avoid it. But there is a way to engage in it. It is the way of love. I do not engage in a conflict with another person because I want to decimate them in the argument. I want to tear them down, make myself look superior. No, I come from the perspective that I too am undergoing conversion. There are times in which I need to be corrected as well. And that we care for that person's well-being. Because that's what Jesus said when he said, if your brother or sister agrees with what you had to say, turns from what they're not doing right, we've won them over. Meaning they are restored back into the life of the community. Jesus, in talking about church discipline, says, again, we're on this pilgrimage of life together, following in the Lord's footsteps. And we do not say, if somebody strays off the path, well, see you later. It's too bad they left. Although sometimes I hear that. It matters to us. It matters to the Lord that we want to tell them that you can come back on this path. You can live according to the gospel. You can struggle with it. You can enjoy a fruitful life as you live according to it. Don't get frustrated. Don't get tired if the cross gets heavy. The Lord promises a fruitful life as we follow His law. So Jesus says, approach the person who is doing wrong. And in our personal conflicts, we should deal with it one-on-one at first. I'm revisiting something I've talked about before, according to this gospel, of the steps that the Lord wants to happen, not only when you deal with church discipline, but also when we have conflicts between individual Christians. We can stretch that out to other conflicts, but it does not stretch out to dealing with the widespread conflicts we're dealing with in the nation right now. Certainly the commonality is that we are to engage in love there. Love is patient, but love is proactive in dealing what is wrong. But here I'm talking about church discipline and then individual conflicts between Christians, because that's what the Lord is talking about in the gospel today. So in church conflict, in church discipline, we approach that person in an individual meeting. And we do the same as we deal with personal conflict. Again, what is our motivation? Love. That we would live according to what the Lord teaches there. And that we are striving to do the same thing. Certainly, we know that we're not perfect, but that does not give us an excuse not to help the other person. Ezekiel was not perfect in the prophet of the first reading, but he was told by the Lord to confront people who have bad behavior, invite them to repent. It was his responsibility. He knew he was not perfect, but he wanted people to join him again on that pilgrimage of life, that pilgrimage of conversion. When we have our individual meeting, it would be helpful to first talk about how we feel when the person has committed an action that has offended us. With that, hopefully the person will not be on the defensive from the get-go there. Maybe the person is not aware of how they acted there. And hopefully we would also hear their perspective. May not necessarily change our minds, but maybe we can come to the middle there. But that compromise cannot be based on a lie, cannot be based on a compromise of the Word of God. Jesus said, approach your brother or sister when they are violating the Word of God. We are to win them back in terms of being faithful to the Word of God, even as we're trying to do the same. So a compromise cannot be, well, you do you and I do me. No, we live as Christ. We live as Christ as members of His church. And we live according to His truth. But Jesus says there are occasions in which approaching someone in an individual meeting will not work. And so to underscore how much we love the person who has offended us, how much we want them to come back on that journey with us, with the Lord, bring a witness. So in regards to church discipline, bring a witness, again, to underscore. This is important. You need to see what you need to deal with this matter. Same thing in terms of our personal conflicts. But the hope would be that in getting a witness, we're not trying to shore up our position. We're not trying to escalate the conflict. But hopefully the witness can have some objectivity and help us help the two persons who are in the conflict to reach a good compromise. Again, a compromise that is based on the Word of the Lord. But Jesus said sometimes it doesn't even work at that stage. Now notice, Jesus could have stopped at step one, and if it doesn't work, give up. But the Lord says we are to always hold out for the possibility of reconciliation. Never hold on to a desire for revenge. So, Jesus says, if step one and step two do not work, go to step three. In regards to church discipline, call the church. And again, he's talking about the whole church. Call the church. And again, it is not to, embarrass the person there. It is to underscore, this is how much we love you. You are straying from the path that the Lord has set out for all of us. You are important to us, and we want you to come back. But if the person does not want to come back, the loving and merciful Savior says, treat that person as if they were a Gentile or a tax collector. Distance yourself, church, from that person. And what is the motivation? Love. Kind of a step four. We're serious about this. Stop your self-destructive behavior. Life on earth is only a moment in eternity. Just like we're trying to choose wisely, we invite you to choose wisely. Just like we have confessed our sins and received forgiveness, we invite you to confess your sins and receive forgiveness. It's kind of like an intervention. You've heard about an intervention, particularly for those who have a family member or friend dealing with an addiction and they're not dealing with it appropriately, that it comes to the point which the family and friends stage an intervention to say, you need to deal with this or we're going to separate ourselves from you. We cannot take this pain any longer. And the purpose of which is to have the person really see, yes, this needs to be dealt with. And again, that's done in love. Parents know they have to do that with their children, not distant, but you know, explain, this is serious and I need you to obey what I've said there. So it's kind of like an intervention. Now in regards to personal conflict, we get to that stage, we will have to distance ourselves from the other. We've come to an impasse, and during that distance, we need to continue to pray for that person, pray for ourselves. Again, pray for reconciliation. But as long as you, and I preach it to myself as well, as long as you have done the best you could to make things right, you have done the best that you could, even if the person does not want to deal with it. But we pray that God is at work, and that in God's good time, He'll bring forth that reconciliation. For He's dealing with people who have free will. God always wills us to reconcile, but He's dealing with people who have free will who decide to cooperate or not to cooperate. I do want to give a caveat to the first step. It says that if your brother or sister sins against you, go to that person in private. Again, we are not talking about if the person has done something that is existential threat to another person, exploits another person. That's why we report people who abuse children there. The Lord's not talking about just going to them in private and see if the person will correct it there. He's not talking about those circumstances. Now, why are we to go through all these steps? Because we want to be like Christ. And Christ did not hold on to a desire for revenge when we had sinned against Him. He holds out for the possibility of reconciliation. And He does it through the gift of Himself. So that is why He wants us to do the same thing. We look to the Lord and say, Lord, that's hard work. Lord, it's painful. And the risen Lord bears the wounds of rejection and shows it to us and said, yep, it's painful. It's difficult. But keep at it. Continue to love. Love is not easy. But love bears fruit. Maybe not in the time you want it, but in God's good time. As people who have free will cooperate with Him. Lord, sustain us, help us to deal with conflict in our life appropriately, knowing that as you love us and you are merciful to us, that we are called to be signs of your love and mercy in the lives of others. Amen.